난 드린 조형은 좀 가르쳐버리려나 디버샤고 베기 김세로 시가를 했으나 당아도 대화 되어봐도 동화미 되어봐래 그래서 동화 세야다 디기 죽고 인자 아니 디버 김세 디레스 그래서 난 대화 동화 대야 류기 대화다 심기 심기 동화나 류레 대비 동화 니용고래 그래서 디나네다 심나 대비 동화 대기에 누가 채워 디나신 대화 되라야 늘릴때때때와다 마송을 했을 때
Now, in a previous session then, we looked at the first of the outlines that I'm going to present, which is the reason for purification. And this is, in brief, is not wanting to suffer, but wanting to experience lasting, stable happiness. We need to purify our minds. And when, whilst looking at this first outline, we looked at how there are two sources in general from which our suffering comes, either from a physical source, our physical aggregate, or our mental aggregates, our minds. And so both happiness and suffering come from these two sources. And amongst the two, we looked at that without, there's actually very little compare between them in that the mental source is so much more powerful than the physical source, both in terms of suffering as well as happiness. And we spoke about how if one is experiencing suffering that has come from a mental source, it will overpower everything else. Likewise, if one is experiencing happiness that's come about from a mental source or arisen within the mind, then this too will be more powerful than any physical suffering. And then thirdly, we looked at how the Buddha Dharma focuses primarily, almost exclusively, on the cultivation of our minds, our mental development. And this is done through, on one hand, purification, on the other hand, accumulation of good qualities. So the Buddha Dharma is very different, presents very different techniques from what is generally found in the world, which focuses primarily, largely, on the outer world, on overcoming problems through transforming the outer world. The Buddha Dharma focuses almost exclusively on the inner world. And amongst those guides, those teachers who present techniques for the cultivation of our inner world, cultivation of virtuous qualities and elimination of faults, the Buddha is supreme. The Buddha is the supreme guide because due to having perfected all good qualities and completely eradicated all faults, is able to guide beings perfectly in accordance with their own individual karmic backgrounds, their own individual dispositions and inclinations. This we need to gain conviction of, because through gaining conviction of this, it will encourage us to spend our time receiving teachings, reflecting on them, meditating on them, and doing so repeatedly over a sustained period. So that's in brief what we looked at in the previous session. We'll look at the second outline, which is that the root of our suffering comes from within our minds.
So, and 地域中当中啊，三堂的做什么呀？对些什么工作的这些，那你们能结合在一起就学会了，是吧？那现在的什么的呢？众多结果不，你们这样搞的了，那我说电话，我车上去找什么的人过来去了，是吧？找什么的人过来？今天人家，那我说什么的，众多结果是第一学会，第一学会，今天落地了。
Here in the second outline, we'll look at that the root of all happiness and suffering is mental, it's within our minds. So this ties very closely to the first outline that we looked at in the previous session, which is that the Buddha Dharma focuses on our mental development, on transforming our minds. And the reason is now what we'll come to. The reason why the Buddha Dharma focuses on mental development is that it's the root of all happiness and suffering is found within our minds.
To understand
why it's stated, why I'm stating that the root of all happiness and suffering arises within our minds, well, let's look at compounded phenomena or impermanent phenomena. Whatever the impermanent phenomenon is, whether it's something material, so like, such as matter, so, something composing of matter, whether it's things that we hear, or taste, or smell, touch, as well as our bodies, of course, as well as all mental phenomena, all our various minds. All of these are impermanent, they are compounded phenomena, which means they are dependent arisings, dependent on causes and conditions. And this includes inner phenomena such as happiness and suffering. Happiness comes about independence on causes and conditions. Suffering comes about independence on causes and conditions. So in brief, all impermanent phenomena, everything that it changes momentarily, whether it's material or an inner phenomenon, these are all impermanent. They all come about in dependence on causes and conditions. This morning we spoke about two sources of suffering, physical and mental. We spoke about suffering that arises independent on our physical aggregate, our body, being sufferings relating to heat and cold, hunger and illness and so forth. So here one may think, okay, I understand that, for example, that I experience heat is dependent on my physical body, I experience cold is dependent on my physical body, I experience hunger, that too is dependent on my physical body, as of course is illness. But then the question may come, but are these also dependent on one's mind or not? Are they solely dependent on our body? Are these sufferings solely dependent on our body?
Lulatin big, Lüdi mena, ane deniki dunga çabı dunga da, desu dunga dene yuvası yuva maris. Sizden lüle dene yungu oles. Sizden anzu lüdi ane ganiz çugu orelana, dan anzu ge rapa rapa samtavayna, anzu lüdi ane, anzu ge aman maki yandu, dene amigü subu nalaya lüdi çugu orva, dan subu di çugu orva. Di rupçan dike ganiz çugu orelana, ane an zawa, ane pamanyi, ane çevala, dene lüdi çugu orelana. 제가 파만이 채발아 아니 파만이기 니가 나 차선 보고라 파 펜지 차선다 되네게 토네 차선 깨네 안 되게 토네 아니 파만이 투발에 되네 마 둘리 주변아 직 차고 제가 또 류 주변에 규칙디 규다 영향이 규칙직디 파만이 아니 직출 제벽에 제약이 군로기 아니 차바세 차바세 제 차고래 제가 되네게 차비네 마 둘리디 안 셈에 땜바 차고래 제가 선 차고 셈디 차벽이 Simpson, that he goes to Simpson, said he, Sheval Kugurwa, Mato Inji, and the Simna, Simju said Simduwa, Marajida Simpson, or Dinichile, Yomobal, Jukurwa.
The reason that it said that suffering such as our hunger, heat, cold, illness arise independent on our body is because that. If we did not have this body, we would not experience those sufferings. So they come about independence on this body. In this body, how did we achieve this? Well, it's come about independence on causes. So those causes, on a very coarse level, we all know. We are born from our mother's womb. But if we're born from our mother's womb, our mother's womb, we needed to be conceived. And we are conceived in her womb. And independence on that, we are later born from her womb. But being conceived in her womb, this also came about independence on causes. And that those causes were our parents sleeping together. Our parents sleeping together, this too came about independence of causes and conditions, because all of these are impermanent phenomena. So our parents slept together, independence on their attachments. So independence on their attachment, they slept together, we were conceived, we were born. And thereby we have this body. So when we trace back like this, we can see that this the stream of continuity started with our parents' attachment, which is, of course, a consciousness, and that attachment is an afflicted mind. So it started from an affliction, the affliction of attachment.
あ、でね、にょもら、にょもばてなところで。でね、さ、だがとルディやんち、パマニゲ、チャソンよばざみ、ディザミやんち、まずルディ、ちょっとごわまれ。じゃさ、でね、さ、でらやんざびき、ぎゅとおて、からこごせね。あ、ぞ、けわがまぎ、にゃま、あ、ぞ、てねぎ、ルチュビアギ、ね、さてび、ルチュチこごれ。あ、ぞ、みるいな、み、ルディチュビアギ、ぎゅ、ぎゅちこごみ、けわれやぎ、ぎゅ。あ、ね、まず、けわがま、つるむそやちこごるわ。でね、ちこごれ。せん、せんちがてごれ。
So that is one cause, which for you, for everyone, is really easy to understand. But it's not the sole cause that led to our attainment of a body. The mere arisal of attachment and that being followed through by our parents, that alone doesn't lead to conception. From our side, we also needed to have acquired relevant cause, which is namely, karma that we ourselves accumulated, contaminated karma that in a previous life we had accumulated. And as we achieved a rebirth in a happy migration, that karma would have been virtuous, would have been from ethical restraint or ethical conduct. From ethical restraint, we accumulated contaminated virtuous karma, and that too was one of the causes that was crucial for us to later attain this body. And this contaminated karma that was that we accumulated through ethical restraint, this too is a consciousness. So we have the affliction, which is a consciousness, ethical restraint, this is also consciousness.
Then the nigging out to Lu to be a goody, and then out to me, let me lead to be a goody, to him, Chagor, to him, Sadik. And the Churim Sungo, Chagorwa, and then I am to Churim Chibu Chagamar and Churim, the nigging Yamdo, Zavi, Yamon Kuno, Delangar, to get in it. ညမောပါညမောပါမာရိပါဆက်ဒီကောမာရိပါဆက်တယ်ဒီစားညမောပါမာရိပါဆက်ဒီအာသူကြီးညမောပါကြီးရဲ့ကြီးစောဝဲစောဝဲတည်တယ်ဒီနေ့ဇာငါသူလူတွေခရစ်တင်တူကိုရစနေငါသူမိကြီးလူရှင်နေတာငါသူအဲချိခေါ်ဝါလျာချိညာဝါဤတာတွင်တော်မိဆက်တယ်ဒီနေ့ကြီးခေါ်ဝါလျာချိချိဆယ်လူတွေချက်စံကားတူကိုရစနေလဲတာညမောပါလည်းတင်တူကိုရစနေလဲတာညမောပါလည်းတင်လဲတာညမောပါဤဒီ
We've seen then that we can trace back to two streams of causes, one coming from our parents' side, which go back to afflicted mind, the other to ourselves, we are of ethical restraint, the karma we created there, a virtuous mind. But these have behind them the deeper afflicted mind of ignorance. Of ignorance of true grasping. That is the root cause. The stream of karmic activity comes about through or propelled by ignorance of self-grasping. And this ignorance of self-grasping and its resulting minds, whether virtuous such as ethical restraint or afflicted such as attachment, it's from this same root cause that everything that is contained within samsara, everything that is found within samsara comes about. All contaminated karma comes from the root cause of ignorance of true grasping. Ignorance, of course, is consciousness, ethical restraint, consciousness, as too is the affliction of attachment, all consciousness. What samsara is constructed from, perhaps one can say, is this contaminated karma and afflictions. And moreover, it's a contaminated karma and afflictions that keep cyclic existence turning, and beings, ordinary beings such as ourselves, continuing to take uncontrolled rebirth again and again and again. It continues for all of us ordinary beings to experience problem upon problem. And so this body we've looked at, this physical body we have, has been achieved independence on contaminated karma. And this contaminated karma is accumulated by afflictions. Even where virtuous minds are involved, such as ethical restraint, there's still ignorance there. So there's still ignorance of self-grasping. And so therefore, this body having come about through this continuity of contaminated karma and afflicted minds, this body too is contaminated. In that, therefore, we experience suffering. So it's a basis for suffering. For example, illness and the various other problems that we physically experience. And so sometimes we maybe will heal from our illnesses, sometimes we won't, sometimes we stay sick for a long time, medicine isn't effective, and so forth. Sometimes we're sick, we heal, we get sick again, sometimes we're sick, and before we heal, another sickness afflicts us. This is our situation. And the reason for this situation is this body we have achieved. It's contaminated because it's come about in dependence on contaminated karma and afflicted minds.
And in this,
I hope then, when we through this through presenting how we achieve this life through these two streams of karma, which came from one side from our parents, one side from ourselves, that these are interlaced, interwoven with the afflictions, and primarily the ignorance of self-grasping. We see that in this way, we achieve contaminated aggregates, and therefore we have this basis upon which suffering is experienced. Therefore, these aggregates are called true suffering. They are in the nature of suffering. If on the other hand, or let's put it another way, those beings who have a body that wasn't achieved in this way, they have a body that came about independent on pure virtue, uncontaminated karma. They do not have a body that's a true suffering. They do not have a body that is a basis for suffering. And therefore, they will not experience a physical suffering like we've been talking about, heat, cold, illness, and so forth. Because the causes are different. The causes are uncontaminated karma because of the absence of afflictions.
Beings
who are in that position are those who are Arya Bodhisattvas. So Arya Bodhisattvas, their cause for rebirth is pure virtue and prayer. And because of such a cause, the body that is attained is not in the nature of suffering, and therefore they will not experience any illness, any heat, suffering from heat, any suffering from cold or illness. Again, because their karma is not non-virtuous, and it was not accumulated under the influence or through the afflicted minds. Therefore, their physical aggregate is completely different. Ours, the cause for our aggregate, our physical aggregate, our body, are perhaps virtuous or non-virtuous karma, but this came about independent or through afflicted minds, through the presence of afflicted minds. So whether that contaminated karma is virtuous or non-virtuous, it was accumulated with the presence of afflicted minds.
Gyulia, 아니 동안 차자 용화색이 띠엔제 류디야 아니 규 녀모바다 안 메테네스니 제와 인자 아니 제와 셈로 투바레 해세데 내 김전 되내시리
Those of us as humans, or those of us who are human, as humans, this is a rebirth and a happy migration, came about independent on our previously having accumulated the contaminated karma of ethical restraint, which is a virtuous mind, but it was infused with ignorance of self-grasping. Hence, the karma is contaminated. Hence, that combined with our parents' attachment leads to the attainment of contaminated aggregates, the basis of suffering or true sufferings. And therefore, we have this basis that serves to suffer, serves to experience suffering. So what we can see from this stream is that mind is primary. Because the mind, whether virtuous or non-virtuous, still had afflictions present, mind is primary. That is what led to the achievement of this, the attainment of this body. For those beings who are not like us, Arya Bodhisattvas, mind remains primary because their mind is free of afflictions such as the ignorance of self-grasping, and therefore their karma is not contaminated, it's uncontaminated or it's pure, and therefore they achieve a body through pure karma and prayer, and thereby it is not a basis for suffering. So whether one is an ordinary being or an extraordinary being, we should see that mind is primary because it's in dependence on consciousness. Whether that consciousness is afflicted or not, that leads to the accumulation of contaminated or non-contaminated karma, impure karma or pure karma, and thereby leads to the attainment of a form body that is a contaminated aggregate, basis of suffering, or not. Hoping now it's becoming clear why mind is primary, and which is the second outline that we're in now. All suffering that we experience, whether physical or mental, mind is primary. And this is because the cause of suffering is consciousness. The cause of happiness, too, is consciousness. So therefore, if we're experiencing physical or mental happiness, this too comes primarily from consciousness. And this is because it's non-virtue which leads to suffering, virtue which leads to happiness. And whether something is virtuous or non-virtuous, whether an activity, a physical activity, a verbal activity, and of course a mental activity, is virtuous or non-virtuous, depends on the motivating mind. So therefore, mind is primary, because it's from the motivating mind that one accumulates the causes that are virtue or non-virtue that lead to happiness and suffering. So here I encourage you now to during this class, look at this and see that the very root cause of all happiness is virtue, which is a way of thinking, it's mind, consciousness, as to is the root cause of suffering, being non-virtue, which is also consciousness. And therefore, mind is primary when we come to think about happiness and suffering. Here, now we're coming to the conclusion of the second outline, which is that the root of all happiness and suffering is consciousness. So I hope this is clear, because that it is from the cause of happiness is virtue, which is consciousness. The cause of suffering is non-virtue, and that is consciousness. Whether the happiness and suffering is physical or mental comes from a root of being consciousness. And this then brings us to the third outline, which is to look at negativities or non-virtue. What is its entity? What is it in its nature? What is the entity of non-virtue? And where is non-virtue to be found? So this is the third outline, which has these two parts: the entity or the very nature of non-virtue or negativities, and where it is to be found. And Buddha Shakyamuni taught, based on his faultless experience, his experience being faultless because he had perfected all good qualities and completely eradicated all faults, leaving not a trace. When he taught what the entity of virtue and non-virtue is, he did so first by pointing out what is non-virtuous and what is virtuous. For example, he taught that anger is non-virtue. And moreover, he didn't just point out this is non-virtue and therefore needs to be avoided, and this is virtuous and therefore needs to be cultivated. He taught the reason why something is virtuous or not. In other words, the entity or the essence of what virtue is and what non-virtue is. And the entity or essence of virtue and non-virtue is, when it ripens, what does it ripen into? If it ripens into happiness, then it is virtue. If it ripens into a suffering experience, then it is non-virtue. So the essence of virtue is that it ripens into happiness. The essence of non-virtue, or negativities, is that it ripens into suffering. Our third outline here is discussing what are negativities in terms of their essence or entity and where they're to be found. So continuing here, Buddha Shakyamuni taught that anger, for example, is non-virtuous, and its essence is non-virtuous because it leads to suffering. And therefore, Buddha taught, anger is to be abandoned. It's to be abandoned because its very essence is non-virtuous because it leads to suffering. And therefore, it must be abandoned because that's an unwanted result. On the other hand, when the Buddha taught about patience, he gave patience as an illustration of virtue. And why is patience a virtue? Because it leads to happiness. Therefore, its essence is as a virtue because it leads to happiness. And therefore, because you desire happiness, patience is to be cultivated. So anger, for example, when Buddha taught that it is a non-virtue because it leads to suffering, this is because being a non-virtue, if it ripens as a propelling karma, will only lead to rebirth in the lower realms. So only rebirth that it can lead to is in the lower realms. Moreover, if a karmic imprint of anger ripens on the continuum of a being in a happy migration, such as a human, it will still only lead to suffering. So a human will experience suffering when a previously accumulated imprint of anger ripens. So therefore, whether a karmic imprint of anger ripens as a propelling karma leading to a rebirth, or is experienced within a rebirth, the result is solely suffering. Virtue, on the other hand, such as patience, is the opposite to this and leads only to experiences of happiness. Therefore, happiness being what we desire, is to be cultivated. So virtue is to be cultivated. Whereas not desiring suffering, non-virtue, such as anger, is to be abandoned.
Gawa yore lamna, ni chilo diwa de, nga zuge, Sukuki chilol pa yore, nanglo yore, suku di gang yore, and a kawa yore, said Chevina, Chitan Kawa, the Tipa said, was the same kitten to Yuva, same kitten to Yuva, Mado, Subule, Chilo, Chilogi, Tishinda, the nigger Sata, Dota, Shulia, the nigger Mavar, Tipa Mavar, Chitan Tipa said the Kawa yore, and Mado, same kitten to Yuva Chago, Ejere. Tipa said, Kawa Yeme, Yose, she did Chevina, and the same kitten to your Ejere.
The first part of this outline then is that the entity of virtue and non-virtue, this is that what it leads to. So non-virtue is the cause for the experience of suffering. So its entity is suffering. Virtue is the cause for happiness. So its entity or its essence is happiness. So non-virtue is a cause for suffering. Virtue, cause for happiness. And where for all of us is our store of virtue or non-virtue to be found? Well, it's not out there in the world, it's not in our surrounding forest to be found, nor in our physical body. It's to be found on our continuum. That is where virtue or non-virtue is stored. It's found to be found only on our continuum. This third outline is important to understand. So when we gain clarity on what the entity of virtue and non-virtue is, that it is a virtue is what is the cause for happiness, and non-virtue the cause for suffering. When we understand this clearly, as well as that it's to be found, these are to be found on our own continuums, then we have conviction where we need to focus our attention, that it is on our inner world. When we understand with perfect clarity that all unwanted suffering comes about independent on the causes of suffering being non-virtue abiding on our continuum, we will know that that is what we need to strive to eliminate. That is what we need to strive to eliminate, the non-virtue abiding on our continuum. Because whatever we change around us may have some temporary give us some temporary reprieve from difficulties, but only temporarily. To be completely freed from suffering, we need to attend with vigor to the causes of suffering that abide on our continuum, non-virtue. And similarly, with happiness, when we understand that the entity of happiness is virtue, because virtue results in happiness, then we'll know that we need to accumulate the causes of happiness, virtue. Because again, what we achieve in our outer world, this has an impact on us, but only temporary. If we want to experience, or in order to experience our desired, longed for, stable happiness, we have to accumulate causes for happiness. If those causes are weak, it will have a limited result when it ripens. So therefore, we need to strive to accumulate greatly powerful virtue, because of the more powerful results that will follow. Therefore, when we come to understand this third outline well, we will apply ourselves to eliminating the causes of suffering, non-virtue, which abides on our continuum, and apply ourselves to strive to accumulate the causes of happiness, virtue, which too abides on our continuum.
I want to repeat the point just made because it's important that you hear this and reflect on it again and again, because so much of our energy, physical, mental energy, goes into transforming our outer world. And this consumes us. Whereas if we use what remains of this life well by focusing on transforming the inner world, this will actually lead to a transformation in how we live, how we experience. So if we think of the time of year such as now, when it's cold in your home, you know how to solve that. You turn the heating on, you wear warm clothing, and therefore you're quite comfortable. But we also know that that is just a temporary solution. Soon the temperature may drop, and we need to wear more clothing and turn up the heating, or we may overheat and need to tone it down a little bit. And likewise, we know from our experience in summer, sometimes it's a little bit hot, so at home we turn on the air conditioning, but then we start to get a little bit chilly, so we turn off the air conditioning. So all these outer changes that we put our time and energy into, they do alleviate difficulty, they do bring some happiness, but it's temporary. It is transformed, it is lost with great ease and very quickly. So it's fine to look after the external world. We need to. But we need to transform our emphasis, turn our emphasis to the inner world. Hence the presentation thus far, establishing that the root cause of happiness and the root cause of suffering is consciousness. So we looked at this in terms of contaminated and uncontaminated karma. And we looked at it in terms of the essence of the entity of virtue and non-virtue. It's all consciousness. This is where we need to put our attention. Because no matter how well we change our external world, lasting, stable happiness cannot be achieved. Only fleeting happiness can be achieved. Hence the need always for more. And this was mentioned this morning too, with the verse that I referred to from Shantideva, that no matter how much we change our outer world, no matter how good conditions we have in terms of health, prestige and renown, material comforts, it's never satisfactory, it's never enough, because it doesn't provide lasting happiness or even lasting freedom from pain and difficulty. So therefore I encourage you, whilst looking after your external conditions, to turn your attention to the inner world, to cultivating the causes of happiness and eliminating those that will lead to suffering.
When we do experience difficulties, it's imperative that we know what the cause of those difficulties are. Because without knowing the cause, it's very difficult to remedy the suffering we're experiencing. Because if we are suffering and we don't know why, we know we get a bit anxious, we don't know what to do about it. Generally, with the cause of sufferings in the world, we know what the causes are, and we know what the remedies are, and we can effectively apply them. If we a little cold, we know why and we know what to do. If we ill, perhaps we know why and what to do, or we will seek out expert guidance. And this is the same through in all walks of life, and no more apparent than in warfare. Soldiers cannot be sent into battle if the enemy hasn't been identified. Moreover, the better that the commanders have identified the enemy, the more effective can soldiers be. So this is certainly the case with ourselves. We need to identify the cause of suffering in order to be able to effectively deal with it. And the more detailed we are in identifying the cause, the more effective we will be in eliminating it.
So now to start to look at more detail as to the causes of suffering. Let's take a suffering that we all recognize, can recognize with great ease, and that's the suffering of being cold. Usually when we talk about, I'm really cold, we're referring to, my body is cold. But the experience of suffering, whilst connected to our physical temperature, is not our physical temperature. The experience of suffering is a feeling of suffering, so consciousness. So again, when we are suffering due to cold, our body temperature is one of cold, but it's not that specific temperature that makes all beings cold, and therefore suffer. It's rather the arisal of the mind, which is called the feeling of suffering. That is what we point out to and say, I'm suffering because I have the feeling of suffering, the experience of suffering. So just to say as an aside here, in Buddhist psychology, the term feeling is used differently from in English. There are three types of feeling: happiness or pleasant feelings, suffering, and neutral feelings. Those three. So it's not how we use it in English, but that's important to understand. So when we are experiencing suffering, we are experiencing a feeling of suffering. When we're experiencing happiness, we are experiencing a pleasant or a happy feeling. This is what is meant by suffering or happiness, this feeling that's arisen. So when Buddha taught suffering, he divided it up in different ways. The best known is the threefold division, with the first being physical and mental suffering, the second being the suffering of transitory pleasure, and the third being all-pervasive suffering. So here we're talking about the first of these three types, physical and mental suffering. And what is physical and mental suffering? It's suffering that has arisen independent on our body or dependent on our minds, and it is experienced as the feeling of suffering. That is what is meant by suffering. The arisal of the feeling of suffering amongst the three types of feeling, the feeling of suffering. And that is what is meant by suffering. And happiness, so we've mentioned now that there are three types of suffering, pleasant or happy feelings, suffering feelings, and neutral feelings. So you mentioned that there are three types of suffering, the first being physical and mental suffering, the second being the suffering of transitory pleasure, and the third being all-pervasive suffering. Or to translate this in different ways, the suffering of suffering, the suffering of change, and all-pervasive suffering. We look now briefly at the first, the suffering of physical and mental suffering. And this is experienced through the feeling of suffering. So the feeling of suffering is the first of the three types of suffering, physical, mental suffering. Then the second type of this threefold division of suffering, the second type, the suffering of transitory pleasure, or the suffering of change. This is quite different. The first type was suffering feelings, or feelings of suffering. Now the second type, the suffering of transitory pleasure, or the suffering of change, is quite different. So if we, for example, cold, that's the suffering of physical and mental suffering, or suffering of suffering. Then we turn on the heater, and we're now quite happy, because now we're nice and warm. So before, we're experiencing a suffering feeling, because we're cold. Now we're nice and warm, and we're experiencing a happy feeling. We're now very, quite toasty, and we're very happy. But this feeling of happiness, now, from our Buddhist perspective, our Dharma perspective, is called contaminated happiness. So we spoke about contaminated karma before. This is now contaminated happiness. It's a feeling of happiness, but this happiness is contaminated. And this happiness, this feeling of happiness, or this contaminated happiness, this is what is meant by the suffering of transitory pleasure, or the suffering of change. So it's actually the feeling of happiness is called the suffering of change, or the suffering of transitory pleasure. So that maybe sounds counterintuitive, but certainly not in accordance with the world. This is what the world strives for. What society strives for is the feeling of happiness, this transitory happiness, this contaminated happiness. So why, from our Dharma perspective, is this called, this happiness called suffering? And it's because the suffering, it's contaminated, it's transitory, it doesn't last and results in suffering. For example, we are cold, we turn on the heating, we're now nice and warm, but with that happy feeling coming from the warmth doesn't last. Eventually we'll be too hot, and it has transformed then from the suffering of transitory pleasure back into a new form now of physical and mental suffering, or the suffering of suffering. So therefore, because the feelings of happiness are transitory and will result in continued suffering, the feeling of happiness or pleasant feelings is called suffering, in particular the suffering of transitory pleasure. We've looked now at two of the three types of suffering. So the feeling of suffering is what arises when we experience that first type of suffering, the suffering of suffering, or the suffering of physical and mental pain. The second type of suffering is actually the feeling of happiness. And this happiness is contaminated happiness, it's transitory. And this is the second type of suffering, the suffering of transitory pleasure, or the suffering of change. Then the third type of suffering, all-pervasive suffering, or its full name, all-pervasive suffering of conditioning. This refers to our having the basis for suffering, our having contaminated physical and mental aggregates, these physical and mental aggregates that are in the nature of suffering. So the mere having of these contaminated aggregates is what is meant by the third type of suffering, that of all-pervasive suffering, because this is the basis upon which the other two types of suffering arise. So of that threefold division of suffering, the first type, the suffering of physical and mental suffering, all beings, or everyone in the world, everyone in society accepts that and wants to be freed of that. But the second two types, the suffering of transitory pleasure and all-pervasive suffering, these are unknown in society. And in fact, society would have a bit of a hard time accepting them because they haven't come to understand the philosophy behind them. And the shortcoming of not gaining clear understanding, experiential understanding of these second two types of suffering, is that one doesn't know the root causes of suffering. One just thinks about very superficial causes. I'm cold, therefore I need to turn on the heating. But it's not aware of the deeper levels from which suffering arises.
Alam galab do jene odanga chu chagi du sel la do horwa da da chaba jamu shu de dunga imba ina ane chaba de yesa da dunga shu cha de horwa da ji nga chawi dunga shu yong du sidi chawa chibi dunga yong du la ge de ane gare sene nga subu shu chagi chigi du chawa du chawa de re sene chawa de ne nime da me de yesa da ge de dunga cha de horwa nime dunga re besen dunga re le ge marwa nime da me da de su dunga re besen dunga re le ge marwa dunga ma re la ge horwa Chesana chakpa ta chu jangma de se dunga re besin dunga mare la giro wa. An da han supu jangma de chu jangma dunga maya na supu jangma de dunga yaya yaya mara wa. Me chabu ta nima chabu de dunga maya na an tu supu chabu de dunga cha yaya mara wa. Ta dunga kare la na ta kyo nyokra xe ma de sin de zho lang yaya ke nyinga yaya wa. Ta zi de dunga xe de kante la ma xin de. Zi o ta de nyokra supu de dine xe ma ya se kongro lang yaya ke nyinga yaya wa. Ben dunga ni su ma xin wa yina. Jidatanga tu sun dunga de karre sun shibju je ya tu chesan subu chawa khorong dunga re mindu chesan chawa nyongwe ge chowa de dunga re shas subu jangmo khorong dunga ma re jangmo nyongwe ge dunga jangmo nyong de ge chowa de dunga re sorda chesan nga tu dunga se de chowa chil gu gu rwa da ten nimjin jide yongda la chowe ge nyonggudu ma do dene ge yawa che je di re sha se de ngo sun ya de kale kha gu che gu rwa
The key point being made here is that what is suffering? It's a feeling of suffering. And this is important to be clear on, because in the world this isn't really thought about. It's not that it's completely unknown, but it's certainly not thought about and not to thought about in detail. Because generally when we say, I have a suffering feeling arise because it's so cold, we would look to our body and say, my body is cold and I'm suffering. And we'd think of our body here and the temperature of our body as being suffering. But really we should be looking at the feeling of suffering. This is the experience of suffering. Likewise, if it's hot and we're perspiring and we're finding we have no energy, then we are more likely, because this is how conditions in society, to blame the external condition. Whereas that is merely a condition, our experience of suffering is due to the arisal of the feeling of suffering. So it's important then to know this clearly, that it's the feeling of suffering that is suffering, not the temperature of our body, whether our body is overly hot or overly cold. Because not everyone will experience a particular temperature in the same way. If it was necessarily the temperature, everyone would experience it, all beings would experience it in the same way. But it's the arisal of the feeling of suffering that is suffering. So when we understand what suffering is, we need to think that it is the feeling of suffering.
Deniki dunga nyoya ge sabun me na subol ya chawa ga ji chawe ne na de ga so re chawe dunga nyu ma re da nga zo dunga chawe dunga nyoya ge chowa ge ge nyu ba di sem ge de ne me ba yin na subu zhang ma ga ji chawe ne chawe dunga nyu ma re je sa di chowa ge chawe dunga nyoya ge chowa ge ge nyu ba di sem ge de yo go re nga ne nga zo dunga chawe dunga nyoya ge chowa di ge ge nubadi semi tendo your gore. Semi tendo di mebaina, no. Subukas is how I not say to my mare, king mare, cousin, nubahoran jeg, soa, say to my nyag, nubunyo, soa, nyagi, nyagi, soa, di, you seven di, yomarwa. And it, Jamo, Subujamo, got his chavana, dame to my nyag, cousin, dame, you toa, nyagi, toyi, toa, nyag, jeg, you seven di semi to the medwa. Mebainza, Subu, Jamo, that's how I got China, and it do my nyag, chagama. Says, I don't want to sing it, do. Tova
这是 an important point then to gain clarity on, that suffering refers to the feeling of suffering. Because understanding this with clarity, when we say it's a feeling of suffering, we know that this is consciousness. And consciousness comes about, is impermanent, comes about in dependence on causes. Consciousness has a seed. So this seed then we need to identify, because it's the ripening of a particular seed that results in a particular feeling of, for example, suffering. That seed, of course, isn't to be found in the garden, nor is it to be found in our physical body, but rather on our mental continuum. That's where our seeds abide. And furthermore, so taking it a little further, we spoke about that suffering is the feeling of suffering, the seeds of our feelings, of our suffering feelings, happy feelings, these abide on our continuum. And as long as we have these seeds, and we have the potency, we therefore have the potency to experience, or the potential to experience feelings of suffering, we will then experience feelings of suffering. If we lack these seeds, if they have been eradicated, we will not, therefore, have the potential to experience feelings of suffering. This is important, because as long as we have the potential to experience feelings of suffering, we will suffer. We will suffer because it's cold, we will suffer because the heat has now made the room too hot. We will continue to experience suffering as long as we have on our continuum the potential to suffer. We have the seeds for the feeling of suffering. When those are eradicated, no matter how cold it is, no matter how hot it is, we will not experience the feeling of suffering, because we no longer have the seeds for the feeling of suffering on our continuum. So this is important to get clear that suffering is a feeling, being a feeling, it comes from a ripening of a seed on our continuum. And as long as one has those seeds, one has the potential to suffer. When those seeds have been eradicated, one will not have the potential to suffer. This is important to know, because it again emphasizes where we need to put our attention.
Mm-hmm. Odinashin Chibare, Mount the Sim Dela, Devi Sovanyagi, 7 Chik Mebaina, and 7 Dimena, then another good Deo Yagi, Chik Chavi Kabla, then the Yimitri Povene, Sova Deva Ki Tu Mare Karsene, Deva Yim Sova Deva Ki Marsene, to Devagi, 7 D Semit in the Yomarva. Odinashi Deva Dare, Deva Yne, Deva Setting Azugi, Sova Deva, then the Deva Ki of Dukabla.
Yeah, you seven to go.
The previous segment then spoke about the feelings of suffering. It's exactly the same then for the contrary feelings, feelings of happiness or feelings of pleasure. Feelings of pleasure, then these being feelings or consciousness, they have arisen in dependence on seeds on our continuum. If we as long as we have the seeds to experience happiness, they can ripen in dependence on meeting the required conditions, and we'll experience happiness, we'll experience pleasure. So the process is exactly the same. If we have the seeds that lead to the feeling of suffering, as soon as we meet those required conditions, that will ripen into suffering. So same too with our desired happiness. So long as to the extent that we have feelings, the seeds that can ripen into the feelings of happiness, we will experience happiness. So understanding then these two points, that both feelings, that happiness and suffering are feelings, they're consciousness, they come about in dependence on the ripening of seeds on our continuum, our mental continuum, we then know that we need to put our emphasis on cultivating the imprints that do abide on our continuum. Not to place our emphasis on external phenomena. We need to take care of external phenomena, but that is not where our emphasis, where all our energy should be placed, a disproportionate amount of energy should be placed. Rather, we should place more energy on the cultivation of seeds of happiness and the eradication of the seeds of suffering.
Through this presentation, hopefully it's now clear that what is suffering and what is happiness is the feeling of suffering, the feeling of happiness. And that this being feeling, it's consciousness, which means it's come from a seed that's on our continuum. And in dependence on the strength of the
potencies of the feelings of suffering and the feelings of happiness will be how much suffering and happiness we experience. I hope this is clear, because otherwise one puts one's energy in an area that does not lead to the result one desires. It's just like, for example, if one's face is dirty, no matter how much one washes one's hands, one's face doesn't become clean. In order to clean one's face, that is what one needs to wash. And it's the same here. Wanting to experience happiness, wanting to be freed from suffering, primarily we need to focus on our inner world. We need to focus on transforming our way of thinking, transforming how we interact with others, how we interact with everything. Because it's independent on our minds that we experience suffering or experience happiness. So this is what we need to focus on. Not wanting to suffer, but experiencing that, but understanding that suffering is a feeling, and that feeling comes from seeds which abide on our continuum. We know then that is what we need to purify, what we need to eliminate, cleanse away, become freed of. Likewise, knowing that happiness too is a feeling. Then that feeling comes about in dependence on seeds on our continuum. We therefore know that we also need to put energy into cultivating those seeds that will lead to happiness. And the method for doing so is what the Buddha Shakyamuni taught. In all his teachings, he focused his students on their inner world, on the cultivation of their inner world. He didn't teach his students how to transform the outer world. He taught them how to transform their inner world. A wide variety of techniques, but it comes down to developing our way of thinking, transforming our way of thinking, and how to do so. With analogies we've heard often, thinking of our continuum as like a scale. And we need to tip our scale towards the side of virtue. And through doing so, we will weaken the contrary side of non-virtue. How to do so? Hear teachings, reflect on them, meditate on them, and do so not sporadically, because sporadic hearing and reflection will not lead to transformation. It needs to be sustained, repeatedly hearing teachings and reflecting on them. This is how we develop new habit patterns, break old habit patterns. And developing and breaking habit patterns, which is the changing of the balance on our scales. As you develop habits, habituation to virtue, weaken habituation to non-virtue. To express it differently, to develop habituation to virtuous ways of thinking and weaken our habituation to non-virtuous ways, afflicted ways of thinking. And this comes about in dependence on hearing, reflecting, and meditating repeatedly over a sustained period.
That dedu yonya ge gyu zo de zawa de ma zu sem le ya tu go de sem le go tu go de che zan sem le tu ba yin za da ma zu sem de ma ne ma zu ge de ki yonya ge gyu di sem le de do zu po go de du ma yonya ge gyu di ya sem le de de yo di me ba su wa che zan ma zu sam lo gyu wa da che ne me ba su go go de he che zan de ya gyu dan du ma me ba su ya de ya ne gyu dan jin chi le de ne me ba su go ma de gyu de jin chi le ma de ba Kurang dua dua yang jadi kencil le dua yang macam, kau mewah sahaja yang jadi kencil le tidak mewah sahaja korai. Jadi kan gawat dia yang tu jadi kencil le tidak ni dua korai. Jadi kan dia ni macam di sembilan sembilan tiga dua korai. Jadi kan tuah sembilan ni mungkin cakap korai saja. Tapi tuah cawah sembilan tu, jadi kan sembilan kujat jua tangguh biko kom ni mungkin cakap jua tangguh korai. Atau kom ni mungkin macam apa? Anu sembilan jua tangguh korai saja. Don't 제가 두고
Opportunity being impermanent, we come now to the end of our second session together. So to summarize what we've been looking at in the session, is all the happiness that we desire and experience and all the suffering that we wish to be freed from, as well as the suffering we experience, comes about in dependence on causes and conditions. When we look deeply, we'll see that those causes consciousness. There'll be a variety of other conditions. Some could be consciousness, some could be material. But at deeper level, the causes are always consciousness. Because, as we've heard, suffering is the feeling of suffering. Happiness is the feeling of happiness. So therefore, these causes, at a deeper level, the causes of happiness and suffering are consciousness rather than material. And therefore, this is where we need to put our energy, at the accumulation of the causes for happiness and elimination of the causes that lead to suffering. And this is because if happiness and suffering are dependencies, dependent arisings, dependent on causes or conditions, they can be eliminated. How so? Through cultivating, in terms of suffering, the contrary causes. And how do we cultivate happiness? Through cultivating those causes. The causes for happiness and suffering, these are dependent arisings, as are the experiences or the feelings of suffering and happiness. And this is a key point, because it means we have influence. We can do something about our current situation. We can completely transform our current situation because it is dependent on our efforts. It's dependent on our striving to accumulate the causes for happiness and to eliminate the causes that would lead to suffering. What is this method that we should be applying ourselves to? Hearing and reflecting on what we've heard. Because without meditation, based on knowledge, no deep transformation can come. Meditation lacking knowledge, or knowledge without meditation, will not lead to lasting transformation. So we need to hear, reflect, and meditate repeatedly over a sustained period in order to bring about transformation. So hearing this, I hope, brings some enthusiasm to one's mind, because with our current situation, as well as our desired situation, being a dependency, it gives us influence. It means we can transform our situation. It is within our control. And the more we hear and the more we reflect, the greater our skill will become, the greater our store of virtue will become. As we become ever more aware of this inner transformation, the effort that we put in will seem time well spent, and we want to put in ever more efforts. And in dependence on the skill and the energy that we apply to our inner transformation, that will lead to an ever more rapid transformation coming about. So this is in brief, a brief summary of what we've been looking at thus far. We've looked at three of the four outlines. Now tomorrow we'll come to the fourth outline, which is how to confess and purify negativities, as well as what accompanies this, which is how to accumulate virtue. So this fourth outline is what we'll look at tomorrow then.
Oh, you got it.
Yeah, thank you very much.